Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by our great friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of a new iPhone app called Theme Park News Disney Edition. This is a free iOS app for all of you Disney fans who just can't get enough of news from around Walt Disney World and the Disney Company. This app goes out there and collects all the Disney news from both official and unofficial Disney sites and puts it in one neat place so that you can keep up with your news multiple times per day. Again, it's a free app for all iOS devices. It's called Theme Park News Disney Edition. Check it out on iTunes or drop by virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 845 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy midweek to you, and thank you again to everybody who was a part of the big live show on Sunday night. One more time, a big shout out to our friend Brian down in Springfield, Missouri, for putting together our chat room, which worked out wonderfully. We had a great time talking Disney, chatting away in the chat room, just having a good time. So we thank everybody who took the time. We're going to do it again on May 17th, so put that on the calendar. We're going to answer your listener questions today. It is another One Commute Question Show, and joining me today from a Disney World After All.com, touringplans.com, and the Magically Speaking e-newsletter, we have Ricky. Happy Wednesday, Ricky.
Hi.
How's
it
going?
You told me I had to be brief. I'm being brief. Hi.
That's it. Well, we're getting down to business because, man, we have a lot of questions in the queue. We want to get as many as we can.
All right. That's good. Moving along.
Okay. Good deal. And from makingmagicandmemories.com, we have Debbie. Welcome to the show, Deb.
Thank you very much, Mike. Next.
All right. Like this. This is how it needs to be. Our listeners appreciate our efficiency today, I'm sure.
Yes, sir.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Save me, Pam. What's up?
Not much. I will give a quick report on the weather. It's beautiful here. Let's move on.
All right. And it's baseball season. The cards are back in St. Louis. We had our home opener a couple days ago, and life is good. So let's hit the questions hard. Let's get going. We're taking care of business today. First question comes from across the pond, and it's from Craig Lucas. He says, "Hi, Team BOG. I'm traveling to Orlando in October for Halloween Horror Nights 25. And on Monday, the 19th of October, me and my bestie buddy, Stuart Miller, will be hitting Walt Disney World hard. I'm planning a once-in-a-lifetime, four parks, one-day extravaganza. Where would you plan to start, and where would you plan to end the day, and what rides must two 40-something-year-old men simply do in between? Many thanks. Craig is over in Liverpool." So,
sweet.
I think it's awesome you guys are going to do Halloween Horror Nights, because like, I think that's perfect for like two guys you know, in your 40s going for like, you know, the crazy guy trips. So that'll be fun, because it's definitely not Disney. As far as the four parks in one day, I would say, you know, you want to look at the park hours, first of all, to see, like, maybe if you're staying on site, I don't know what your accommodations are like, but if you're staying on site, take advantage of morning and evening extra magic hours. That buys you a little extra time. But I think, you know, you could really do it however you want. You know, I don't think we can really give a hard rule as to, you know, go in this order for the parks. What I would do for two guys, though, is really throw down a challenge pre-trip. Like, and say, okay, the challenge is, and this is kind of like what Amy did, one of our listeners, Amy, and her family. You know, they had a snack at each park. They had a couple of attractions they had to do. So say you have to do, you know, three headliners or two headliners. You got to eat something that's unique to that park. You know, have some kind of parameters. That way you make it almost into a competition. You know, Pam, what do you think? I think that'd be something other than just saying you have to do space, you know, have to do the mountains or something. I think if you have kind of like a rubric or like a scoring guide or something right off the bat, you're going to have more fun.
Yeah, I agree too. I agree. I mean, maybe you want to try to do rides that really get you wet or,
yes,
you know, I mean, think of stuff like that. Or maybe I think it would be fun to do, like, think of it as like a scavenger hunt. So maybe you have to do two rides that get you wet. Maybe you have to do two rides that have a wait time of less than 10 minutes.
I like it, yes.
You know, like, yeah, now I'm getting into this. I'm going to, like, come
yeah,
up
I love
with
it.
This one. No, but call me. We'll talk. I have ideas. No, but I think like if you did something like that, it would be really cool, and that would make you maybe choose attractions that you might not otherwise. And yeah, I think it always has more fun. And make sure you put in there, and in addition to just the attractions, make sure you do some restaurants and some snacking and stuff like that. So put that in your little scavenger hunt thing too.
Or some crazy pictures with not only like characters, but maybe like guests from like, you know, guests dressed a certain way, or, you know, from somewhere. I think we should, that'd be cool. Like we had a, you know, we have a big community, but if we had a place where we could put together, like everybody makes up one of these things and we could kind of exchange them, that'd be kind of fun for like the whole community.
Agreed. I love the idea. Let's think about
that.
We'll
have to do that at some time. That'd be a lot of fun. So, All right. Well, have a good time, Craig, and enjoy the Halloween Horror Nights in Walt Disney World in October, and let us know how it goes. Please write us back. Next question is a listener response from Rob Miles, because it's from Ricky Niblett, so I know it's from Facebook. Again, we're at facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. Drop by there. But email your questions. Don't put them over there. You can over there, I guess. Ricky picks them up every now and then. She's like a vacuum cleaner. All right. He says, okay, on the commuter question, you're the vacuum cleaner of Facebook. You get them to me. You like suck them right off the Facebook page and then email them to me so that I get them in the right place. Got it? Good. Okay. You're fine. Okay. On the Commuter Question Show podcast of February 10th, a listener asked about romantic things to do on a Disney moon. Y'all suggested a walk around Port Orleans French Quarter. Good idea, but I'd go one step further. I'd do the carriage ride offered at Port Orleans Riverside. Not too expensive, and we thought it was enchanting. Moonlight walk along the paths between Wilderness Lodge and Fort Wilderness 2. Also on the February 10th podcast, you discussed room upgrades. I've never received an upgrade. Like those on the podcast, I booked the room I want and have never been unhappy. I have been surprised by the number of people who have been very vocal on numerous message boards about asking for upgrades. I don't understand the idea of expecting something for free. If Mickey and Walt decide I'm deserving of the magic, then yeehaw. But if not, why mess with a great vacation and get angry over it? So, Rob, good points on both topics there. Good advice with Riverside and the carriage ride. And I kind of agree. I book exactly what I want. Debbie, I mean, you know, I think you do the same. You book what you're going to be happy with. And if we get lucky, we get lucky.
Absolutely. That's the only way to do it, because if you're going to have to sit there and think, oh, what if I don't, if I do, and that you don't need that part in the equation of your vacation. Just book what you want and move on.
Absolutely. All right. Next question comes from Andrew Ruiz, and he says, Mike and the gang, I love the show. It keeps me in the Disney mood pretty much all year. Well, see, we got to work on Andrew, because if it's pretty much all year, like what is it, like August, maybe August, yeah. We're like slacking off, you know, maybe late May. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, maybe. So thank you for doing this bi-weekly and never getting boring. That's pretty good. We do it actually tri-weekly, but who's counting?
One time we did it bi-weekly.
We did it one time. My wife and I'll be... That's how old this email is. It was before we did listener questions. No, that couldn't work because it's a listener question itself. My wife and I'll be traveling to Walt Disney World this April with the rest of my family. We are staying off-site with a total of 15 people ages 2 to 60. We are in our early 20s and we usually travel to Disney alone or with our friends who work there. What are the main differences in traveling with a large group who has such a diverse age range versus traveling in a group of 2 to 4 who are pretty experienced at park touring? Any words of advice for coping with the, I'm assuming, major slowdown in park touring efficiency? I am excited to go with my entire family, many of them experiencing the park for the first time, but want to set expectations realistically. Thanks in advance. Drew is in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. So thanks for writing in, Drew, and throw this one out to Ricky. First thing I would say, he's got it, man. Because I've done this. You know, now before the trip, I was so excited, like, oh, my mom's going to see Walt Disney World, and, you know, I'm going to go with my nephews, and there were times I wanted to kill him. I mean, I love him, but I wanted to kill him. Because, you know, it's like, I think it's bad for a Disney veteran, because somebody who's used to going around the parks quickly, even with your immediate family, like, I've trained my family, like, Pam, Paige, and Mallory, man, they know it. They're trained perfectly, but man, my mom, her feet were, like, just raw because she wore the wrong shoes, and, like, I told her not to wear the wrong shoes, and she had, like, just stubs by, like, day three. I mean, it was... Anyway, Ricky, what do you think? I think it's challenging.
Pack your patience. That is the best advice I can give you. It is not going to be like the trip that you know and have experienced in the past, because they are not as skilled as we are at the planning, and they don't understand necessarily everything that goes into what makes a Disney trip successful, if that makes sense. So obviously we've had practice at that. I learned a lot when I was with my family in September when we took grandma, because we actually had, let's see, it was my grandma, my mom, my dad, my brother, and my brother's friend all at once, and plus me. So that would be, what, six of us. So we all had to go around Disney's Hollywood Studios. And really, granted, they knew that me and my brother were the experts, so they kind of went with what we had in mind, but we didn't really have much of a plan. We had, all I did was schedule a dining ADR, so I made sure I had that. And after that, we really just kind of went with the flow of everything. It was so laid back, and we actually didn't even, because we used my brother's comp tickets at the time, we couldn't make fast passes at a time, so we didn't even have that as an option. So if you can make some fast passes at a time, of course that's going to be helpful, but if not, it's cool if you have to make them the day of. You can get some stuff, but with a group that large, try and make your fast passes, because it's going to be more difficult. But yeah, I mean, it can be done, but seriously, just pack your patience. Know that they're going to want to do things that just frustrate the heck out of you, and go with it, because you're going to have fun. Just enjoy the moment. That's really all that matters. Enjoy the moment with your family.
I think, too, you just have to realize, hopefully, that you can get back down there as just like you're, as a couple, you know, without
being
too, if it's like you're once in a every 2 years trip. That gets frustrating, because you're thinking, oh man, I just wasted a whole day and I'm not going to be back forever. But
absolutely,
if you can go back, you know, within a certain amount of time, that really kind of helps dissipate the anxiety of like, oh man, we're doing this all wrong. You know,
right.
it's like that. Now, Pam, I know that over Christmas time, you did a multi-generational trip, because I enjoyed a lot of the pictures that I saw you updating from down there. So what did you learn from that?
Spring break. Yeah.
Spring break. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. You're getting your holidays mixed up.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, we did. And you know what? I think it's always really fun to kind of share the magic of Disney with other people. I think that that's really part of the fun. But it also is more challenging. Like you, Mike, I mean, my family is pretty much, they know the routine, right? They know what's going to happen. They know that there are rides that we have to do because one of us really likes them, even though it's like super lame or whatever. And there are rides that we get to skip because none of us really want to do them. And when you're with a group, you don't really have that luxury. Because there are things, you know, that like Seven Dwarfs we had to do because Steve's grandmother wanted to ride it. And, you know, I just wanted everyone to get to experience.
Yes, that's
that.
Awesome that his grandma wanted to ride it. Score! Fantastic!
She did. And then there were other things, you know, that we had to do. Like we had to plan some breaks and stuff like that because she was in a wheelchair. And so we had to make sure, you know, that there were breaks and lots of times for her to rest. So I think that, you know, you have to take in the needs of everyone in your party, you know, physically, and the need to get drinks or snacks, because some people have different needs. But I think what's great about traveling with a different group is that, again, we experience things that we don't typically do, and that's both good and bad. But we, just because I needed to pick a fast pass, we picked Indiana Jones one day, and that was hysterical because Steve's grandmother, we took a video of it and posted on Facebook,
yes, we did.
But she jumped at all of the little things that are supposed to be scary, but like aren't.
But you know, they're coming 3.5 seconds ahead of time. She's seen this many times.
She jumped at all of them. In fact, she was like so startled by them. A cast member came up and asked if she was okay.
Man, that ball's actually made out of paper mache.
I know, right? So anyways, it was just adorable. At first she said like we weren't sitting up front because she didn't want to get shot. We're like, what? We'll sit in the back. But anyways, I mean, it's just stuff like that. Like, we all have memories. We were all laughing so hard at Indiana Jones.
That's awesome.
So it was just a great experience. We really enjoyed ourselves, and I would do it again in a heartbeat.
All right. Well, good luck on that. Just again, I think Ricky said the best three words, pack your patience. It's going to be fun.
It's true.
But it is not efficient. I mean, and we're being efficient today with the questions because we're moving on to the next question. We're knocking them down, man, because this queue is getting too long. So the next question is from Elizabeth Devins. It says, hi, Mike. My husband and I are a young couple without kids, and we're planning a trip to Disney World in late April to celebrate our anniversary. It'll be our first time staying at the Boardwalk Inn, and we're excited to explore what the resort has to offer. If you could pick one restaurant/entertainment/attraction at the Boardwalk/promenade, lots of slashes in this, to be labeled not to miss, what would it be? Thanks a lot, Elizabeth. All right, so Debbie, something over on the Boardwalk, any kind of experience since they're in that Boardwalk Beach Club, Yacht Club, Crescent Lake Circle, what would you not miss over there?
Because I've not done this, but I think the little Surrey bikes would be nice because you're right there on the boardwalk. You're pedaling around. You're getting some exercise with the nice weather because April's a good time to go. And I just think you get to see so much. It's just so typical of a boardwalk, no matter what era that you're in, you know. So I think that's what I would do and suggest.
Do you not remember my boardwalk Surrey bike story?
Not everybody has those experiences.
Oh, if you've been with us a long time.
And how many people did you run over?
I didn't run anybody over, but this is from years ago because it was so long ago. That this was the trip where we took Paige's best friend, Molly. That's so they must have been about 9, I think, or 10, maybe. No, they were younger than that. They're probably like 7 because they were so young, in fact, that their feet couldn't reach the pedals because we had a 4-person Surrey bike. We'd just eaten at Beaches and Cream. And I mean, I'd eaten a burger, fries, and I got a big old dessert. I was so full I couldn't walk. And then they're like, you said you would take us on the Surrey bikes. I'm like, oh, what, are you kidding me? I just say, so, you know, this is like in June or July. It's like, it's like 89 and it's 10 o'clock at night with 90% humidity. Those Surrey bikes are like pedaling a Volkswagen. They're like 500 pounds. You got those hills, but you don't realize there's a hill on each end. If you go past like ESPN, you got to go over a hill to get like over by the Swan and Dolphin. Yeah. Oh my, I'm just saying that was, it's probably fun if you get the 2-seater and you both can pedal. But when you're trying to pedal for like 3 other people, oh my, that was one of the worst ever. How I did not barf that night, I have no clue. None. Anyway, that was off topic and I'm being inefficient tonight. So Pam, what would you suggest in the boardwalk area?
Well, you know, one of my favorite restaurants is there. I mean, Flying Fish, I think, is not to be missed. We eat there almost every trip, even if it's just to stop in for like appetizers and drinks or, you know, to sit at the bar or whatever. I think that that's not to be missed. Now, I don't know if that's really included in entertainment, but, you know, whatever. But I think there's the cool, like the roving entertainment around the boardwalk is kind of cool. And you can't ever predict like who's going to be there or when, you know. I guess there is kind of a schedule, and maybe if you ask, they would tell you. But we've seen like magicians and other guys doing, you know, other really cool stuff. And I think there's just such a vintage entertainment quality to that you really just have to appreciate. It's totally from a bygone era because you really don't get to see things like that anymore. But the entertainment there is usually pretty good, so I appreciate that. I've done the dueling piano bars a few times and really had a good time. If you're there with a group, I think it's super fun to do. And of course, you can see some of the fireworks from Illuminations from certain areas on the boardwalk. You can't like see the whole thing, but you can see a lot of it, and you can hear the music in the distance depending on how loud the crowd noise is. So there's lots of stuff to do there. Just have fun.
Yeah, I went to the Jelly Rolls, years ago, like on cast member night. It was a hoot, man. It was crazy. So that is kind of fun. Can't remember what night it was, like Tuesday night or something. It was like a weird night because obviously they don't want to do it on, you know, like the weekends. But I would say check that out. But also Boardwalk Bakery, just make sure that you don't go the entire trip without swinging by there because great breakfast options and great snacky options. So make sure, I mean, it's a hidden gem.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic. So oh, not, man.
Yeah, not to be missed. Don't miss the Boardwalk Bakery. All right, Ricky, what else?
Okay, so I'm going actually to Yacht Beach Club area. So first of all, if you're wanting to have like a romantic evening, so my suggestion would be to go sit on the beach there. They have the movie at night. You can watch the movie or they also do s'mores, marshmallow roastings. So I think that that's a lot of fun too, that you can take part in. And then I say go have a romantic, like, ice cream date at Beaches and Cream. I think that that's a pretty awesome way to end your evening. I also have another suggestion. If you're looking for kind of an off-the-beaten-path place to go for breakfast, Brian and I just tried this a couple of weeks ago. We went to Captain's Grill. First of all, I knew that Captain's Grill had a set menu of things that they offered, but what I didn't realize was they also had a buffet, and that's totally what Brian decided to do. I got the chocolate waffles with mascarpone. I can't even pronounce it. I know it's deliciousness. It was kind of like a coffee flavored mascarpone, or however you say it. It was so incredible. It usually has cherries on it, but I had them put strawberries on it instead because I don't like cherries. Holy cow, this was a fantastic way to start my breakfast in the morning. So, you know, that's always an option as well. If you're looking for something, sit down for breakfast that's kind of unique, off the beaten path. You don't necessarily have to have a reservation for it. Although we did make an ADR while we were driving there. So it's not like you can't get a reservation that morning if you want to make one. But those are my two suggestions.
All right. Sounds good. A lot of ours revolved around food. Imagine that.
I think this was Fatty's. What? Yeah, I would say.
All right. Mine involved exercise.
That's true.
So.
Yours did a lot.
Well, you know, you stole my first idea, so I had to come up with something food related.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They need to make those like electric powered, and then we're set, because, man, those things are heavy. Anyway.
Yeah.
Next question comes from Sarah Maroney. She says, hi, everyone. Thanks for answering a few of my toddler tip questions. I have a couple of new ones for you. One, my daughter loves to climb and run and play. What are the must-do playgrounds in the parks for active toddlers? And two, we are doing the dining plan for the first time, and my daughter will still be under three. We might want to get her a kids' meal sometimes instead of splitting meals with her. If we don't want to use any of our credits for her kids' meal, how do we go about doing that? Do we have to check out separate? Okay, so let's go with the dining plan question first. Basically, what you're going to do is just kind of order a la carte for her. Order kids' menu, kids' meal, then you'll just pay for that out of pocket. You'll get a bill for that at the end of the meal. They'll take the dining credits off of for your meals, and everything will be set. So you just kind of, because you're going to have to pay for your tip anyway, so just kind of include it there in like one bill. You'll tip, and you'll have the kids' meal and everything in there. So pretty simple there. As far as the not-to-miss playgrounds in the parks, as when Mallory was younger, Animal Kingdom has a killer playground over in the Dino Land section. The Boneyard. That slide is like, it's like 17 stories tall, man. It like gives you a nosebleed at the top. But I mean, seriously, though, there's a lot to play over there. But I think that, you know, the parks are doing a good job with playgrounds. I mean, Pam, what would you think? And can you think of another one?
Yeah, I think that interactive queue at Dumbo is a great space for kids to play while you're waiting for an attraction. That's what I love about it. I love that so much better than some of the other, quote, interactive queues where you touch all that stuff. I mean, I just think that that's a great idea, and there's bleachers for the parents to sit on and, you know, whatever. So your Pam and I kind of waited out a storm one day there, so that was a big plus. I also think that there are some great spots to do, like with the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movie set adventure, although that's going away, I think.
I heard they're actually turning that playground into a Captain EO playground now.
Yes, Mike, that's exactly what they're doing.
I'm sure. So that, you know, is interesting too. But, you know, I do, there's also that space near Splash Mountain where it has soft floor and things like that. But I think, too, they are making an effort to make the queues more interactive. So I think that that's something to do, too. But one thing I would always do, I think, with a child, I think a cool place to go with them is over at Tom Sawyer Island, just because it's like one of those places where you feel like you have a little space where you can run or toddle or walk around a little bit. And I like that. I think that kids need that. And all the resorts, too, also have a little playground area. So check those out.
Yeah, we took Mallory over to Tom Sawyer Island this past trip. We were down there for Marathon Weekend for the first time, and she loved it. Like, she's like, this is the coolest thing ever. Why didn't you ever bring me over here? Like, I don't know. She loved it. So, you know, even girls really enjoy it over there, too.
Oh, for sure,
I think a lot of people think it's just for boys, but it's totally not.
plus, too, I noticed over at Epcot, you know, this is if your kiddos, it's okay for you to get your kids wet. There are a lot of, like, those little jumping fountains from the ground that the kids love to see whenever they squirt over from the ground over to another part of the ground. And a lot of kids love to chase those. And, of course, there is a high risk of the kids getting wet, so be prepared. But that really entertains them because, you know, kids love water. They're attracted to that. So that's kind of cool, too, is to see the little ones running around and playing that.
Yep, that's it. But just make sure that, you know, because I know some kids will complain the rest of the day, so sometimes it's better to have, like, a change of clothes if you're going to let them do that.
Yes.
Otherwise, they're like, I'm all wet. And it's like, then they're nagging at you the rest of the day. So, all right, time for the last question of the day. It comes from Tammy Briegel. She says, hi there, gang. First of all, I've been planning my upcoming trip to the world for several months, and your podcast has been so helpful. I especially love listener questions because I find answer to questions I didn't know I had. Our trip is scheduled for November 15th to the 21st, the week before Thanksgiving week, and our family of three, myself, my husband, and four-year-old daughter, will be staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge. We're looking at our dining options before the 180-day mark, and I have two questions. One, Cinderella's Royal Table is a must-do for us, partly for my princess-obsessed daughter and partly for her princess-obsessed mama. My first instinct was to try for a coveted breakfast reservation and get in the Magic Kingdom first thing on the Monday morning of our trip. However, now I'm hearing lots of reports of Disney changing park hours to open earlier, thus making the breakfast reservation less appealing. My second instinct is to make a dinner reservation for later in the week, when we will return to the Magic Kingdom for Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. I feel like this reservation might be easier to get, and I wouldn't have to worry about park hours changing. However, I still think it would be magical to be in the park in the morning before it opens. What would you guys do? And number two, we would like to kick off our trip with dinner at Chef Mickey's on our arrival day, Sunday. I think this will be a great opportunity to ride the monorail and maybe see a few other resorts decorated for Christmas. So put on your thinking caps. Give me your best ideas for transportation to the Contemporary from Animal Kingdom Lodge with a few must-see resorts along the way. And give me some estimates on how much time I should allow for your routes. Thanks for all of your help and insight. Tammy is in Edon, E-D-O-N, Edon, I guess it would be Edon, Ohio. All right, so breakfast at Cinderella's Royal Table or dinner the night of the Christmas party. Pam, what might you say to that? Because she's worried about that park, you know. I think she wants to be in there before the park opens. And you know, if she makes an ADR and then all of a sudden she's not in there before the park opens, she's going to be disappointed.
I wouldn't sweat it. I would still make it for the morning. I'm very protective of my party time. Like, you pay a premium for those park tickets, and I want to use up every second of it. So my personal choice is breakfast. And I just think there's something about a breakfast character meal that I really like. And I don't know if it's just like classical conditioning, right? Because that's the one, you know, we've done them more often there, but I really like it. And if the time does change, they may open some more spots for the breakfast, for the breakfast times too. So even if you're, you know, even if the time does change, I wouldn't worry about it. Just enjoy your time in the castle. It's really cool.
Yeah, I agree. And I would do the same thing because what I do with the park, you know, the party tickets, the hard tickets, I try to break it down and say, okay, you know, this is what the ticket costs and how many hours long is the party? What's my cost per hour? So I want to make sure that, you know, even if you do that, yeah, you're like, wow, I don't want to waste an hour. You know, that's like, you know,
right,
17% of the cost of the ticket. You know, if you look at it that way, you know, somewhere in that ballpark. So what would you do, Deb? I mean, is it concerning to you that, you know, if you're trying to get in before the park opens, then they all of a sudden switch up the hours because the crowds are larger and they think, what would you do?
That's really tough. I like it in the morning because I'm not a breakfast eater, but you know, it's not about me. But if that's, you know, a good time to go, then do it. Plus, it's still early in the morning enough to where you can still get some really good quality pictures with not a whole lot of people starting there in the park. Maybe get there a little bit earlier than that scheduled time if Disney will let you in. Maybe you could always kind of smile and say, please, please sprinkle pixie dust on me and see if we can get in a little earlier. So, but they can't. I can't promise y'all that they would do that. But I think a breakfast would be nice. And I'm kind of like you guys. I don't like spending my hard-earned money on the ticket, like the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, and then having you sit down for a meal during that whole time. But that might not be a bad thing, too, because if you're there for all the other festivities that are going on until midnight, then why not? You know, so it's an hour out of your time, but at least it's going to be magical. You've got the snow on Main Street to walk through, so maybe that's just something to make it kind of a part of the package, as I would.
All right. Well, let's get to the second part of her question. And she wants to kick off with dinner at Chef Mickey's, obviously at the Contemporary, first day of the trip. But they also want to see some of the resorts decorated for Christmas time. So what I would say is, of course, if you're coming from Animal Kingdom Lodge, you're going to have to go to either Downtown Disney or one of the theme parks. And I would say, you know, you're traveling this day. You don't want to bite off more than you can chew, but I see that you want to get started with Christmas. I would take a bus to the Magic Kingdom from Animal Kingdom Lodge, and then I would do a tour of the monorail resorts because the Contemporary, the Polynesian, and the Grand Floridian, very easy to get to there. Of course, you're going to stop at the Contemporary first, so you may want to do this after dinner. But what I would do, this is just my suggestion, is that I would get there plenty early if you can before the Chef Mickey's ADR. And what I would do is go to the Magic Kingdom and take the monorail around to the Polynesian. Okay, and stop at the Polynesian, take a glance around there. Then go to the Grand Floridian. Plan to spend a little bit more time there because that's a really good place to get a lot of pictures and there's lots to see there. Then hop on the monorail, go to Chef Mickey's, have your dinner. But don't miss after dinner. You got to take a boat over to Wilderness Lodge and check that out. And that would be a great kickoff to your trip without going into a park. So, Ricky, can you think of anything better than that?
No, I think that's good. You definitely don't want to miss the Grand Floridian, whatever you do. I think that that's the most fabulous Christmas decorations. I mean, that gingerbread house is fantastic. So that's what I, if you are looking at, you know, maximizing what you do, definitely make sure at least you see that one. And yeah, you're going to have to take the, you're going to have to go from, because they're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, so you're going to have to go to the Magic Kingdom then to take the transportation to the Contemporary either way. So you might as well just hop on the monorail and have some fun.
And I mean, on another night, you could, you know, take a bus to Epcot, then go out the International Gateway and see this, you know, stuff at Beach Club, Yacht Club, Boardwalk. But the thing is, you just can't see it all at once, and you don't want to bite off more than you can chew, because then all of a sudden, you're at the very beginning of your trip, you're burning the candle at both ends. You know, I think the monorail is plenty, but don't miss Wilderness Lodge, because you're so close and you're only a boat launch away. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, the Christmas, that is just stunning when you walk in that lobby.
So. Exactly.
All right. Well, thanks for the great questions. We appreciate those. Keep those coming. We're going to get to as many as we can each show. We're going to try to keep it going like this. So send those to Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com, and we'll get to your question right away. I wanted to remind everybody that I am actually a guest on another podcast this week. That's right. I got to talk tech. I know. I didn't tell you guys this, so I'm breaking it right here. I was pumped to be on the No Better Than Average podcast, and this is a tech podcast hosted by my good friend Jeff.
Wait, you wanted a tech podcast?
Yes. We'll see, you buy an Apple Watch, and all of a sudden everybody thinks you're
techie. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That makes sense.
I didn't ask. Pam, did you get one? Come on.
I did not.
Oh, you're killing me. And you're watching.
I know, and I'm usually a very early first adopter.
Yeah, me too.
The watch, I did not I'm very particular about what goes on my wrist. I'll just say that.
It's like the ultimate magic band, man.
I have a Citizens EcoDrive Disney watch that I love.
Yes, but my Mickey will be tapping his foot in synchronization with every other Mickey on the planet Earth.
I know. I march to the beat of a different drummer.
If you want to hear more talk like this, go to iTunes, search the No Better Than Average podcast, and it's a lot of fun. We sat down and we talked to this. We talked some Disney. We talked some old Betamouse. So for all you Betamouse fans, I know, because Jeff Chaney's one of the hosts, and I kept begging him, bring back the show, man. Get the band back together. And I don't think it's going to happen. But anyway, I was glad to have be on that show and hopefully have those guys here on the podcast with us very, very soon. So check it out, No Better Than Average podcast. Again, today's episode brought to you by the good folks over at virtualmickey.com. Speaking of tech, they have a new app together, and it's called Theme Park News Disney Edition. And I was talking with Joe, the app developer and owner over there at virtualmickey.com just today. And I, you know, he told me about this new app. He's like, yeah, it's free, and you know, it's on iOS. I want everybody to check it out. And I told him, I'm like, you know what, I was playing with it, and I said, this is like Zite, but just for Disney. Because every night when I'm eating my Cocoa Puffs before I go to bed, you'll notice that I always tweet out a couple of links to, you know, different articles that I find interesting. And, you know, that's how I get my Disney news. But this is better because it's specifically Disney official news and unofficial Disney sites as well. Hint, hint, Ricky, you're probably going to be in there. You're unofficials, aren't you? So
I am.
Yes, you are. So, you know, get stuff from the Parks blog and other sites, and keep up with your Disney news all in one place. So drop by iTunes, and better yet, go to virtualmickey.com. See all the apps. You got Days to Go, you got D-Point, and more. So check out Theme Park News Disney Edition over at virtualmickey.com. BeAurGuest.com. All right, the next live show comes your way on Sunday night, May 17th, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. Put it on the calendar. Join us on MagicalMouseRadio.com. MagicalMouseRadio.com also plays the absolute best mix of Walt Disney World in-park audio and music. Today is World Showcase Wednesday, so all morning long we are in Epcot's World Showcase with authentic tracks from all over the backside of Epcot. I call it the social studies part of Epcot. The front is science. So, you know, and I explained to my kids, we got science and social studies all together, and that is called Epcot. So check it out today, World Showcase Wednesday, MagicalMouseRadio.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're at Be Our Guest Mike on Twitter. On Facebook, we're Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And, of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. And keep us up there on iTunes. We love that. You guys have been doing great. Thank you to everybody who has left a rating or review. And if you haven't done that in a little bit, please do drop out iTunes, leave a rating and a review. We'd really, really appreciate that. All right, we're getting out of here and letting you get on with your week. Thank you so much for downloading the show. If you missed the live show on Sunday night, it's going to be there tomorrow so you can replay. And hey, what? Listen again. It was so good. You just got to listen again. Well, maybe. I don't know. You can tell us about it Thursday night if you liked it again. So it'll be there for you. Check it out. And we'll be back together on Friday. Pam's going to talk some Adventures by Disney. Lots of requests for that one, so don't miss out. For Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike wishing you a great midweek. Stay safe. Keep working hard. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.